team for leading us in worship this morning, sharing with us your abilities and talents that God has blessed you with. And just just before I start this morning, if you have a mobile device and you want to follow along on the outline, you can go on to YouVersion Events and find pioneerparkchurch.com. And once you get in there, if you want to save the event, it's called, you can push that little button that says Save Event. And what it is, it's basically the outline of what I'm sharing this morning, the scripture references, a couple of comments, some questions at the end, and then there's a five-day reading plan attached to that as well. So if that's something you're interested in, then feel free to do that. You're saying, how do I get online? Well, there's a, I don't know if there's any bulletins still out there, but the bulletin has our internet and password there, and so you can recognize it and hop on. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Speaking of, well, I shouldn't say this, not cost you anything. Hey, you know that survey that's in the front there? You know what? I just want to do a little bit of lights there. Somebody grab the light switch there at the back. Bob, can you give me some lights in the house here? Serving survey. Boy, you know, some people look at that and go, there's no way I'm filling this out. This is not a contract. This is an exploratory tool. Because you may fill it out and you're like, my name and phone and email, this is just completely voluntary. It's a tool. It's something available for you to consider the possibility of filling. You know what? You might even look at it, and it just might inspire you to something in your own life, in your own place and space, just by reading it and going through it. But I just encourage you. Isaac, just, you know, give a little hand wave. There's Isaac there. Isaac is our volunteer coordinator here. And what we try and do is, some people say, well, I want to be involved, but I don't know how. I don't really want to come up and ask somebody and that kind of stuff. Well, Isaac is a very gentle spirit. Anybody that knows Isaac can agree with that. And Isaac would love to talk with you. I keep seeing slides that say you're available in the foyer after. Is that right? Are you going to be hanging out there afterwards? Okay, so if you want to talk to Isaac, or you even think about filling this out, you know what? You can even fill this out while I'm speaking. You don't have to wait for pauses in between or think somebody's going to think, oh, man, what's that person doing? You know, man, we're inviting you to be on your mobile device if you want to, follow along, or fill out the survey. I mean, what's that about? But we just want to do that, make it available for you as an opportunity for you. So please accept it as that. One other thing I wanted to mention, too, is Carrie Eaton has put something in the bulletin here for us, and it's online Christian resources for families. And so there's a number of great resources here for families that she has put out, and some are from Focus on the Family and some other places, Adventures in Odyssey and all that. So if you want to take a look, this is a good resource list, and I just wanted to mention those things as we begin this morning. I like watching movies. You know, sometimes it's hard to find the time to watch a movie. But and then there's sometimes, you know, you go on, I don't know if any of you have Netflix or not, but you know, sometimes you can find good movies on there. Other times, not so much, especially in all that romantic stuff and that. Not into that so much. I actually like watching movies that sort of include the element of a heist. Y'all, yeah, okay. Like, what's that? Yeah, exactly, The Italian Job. That's one of them, yes. I like watching movies that include the element of an art heist. You know, it's kind of crazy. Movies in which the plot includes some kind of reproduction or copy being put in place of the original, and just how they pull that off only in the movies. The kind of movies where at some point you go, no way. I did not see that coming. That's awesome. Maybe you don't have those moments. I do. Movies like National Treasure with Nicolas Cage, Entrapment with Sean Connery, Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis. I'm not recommending any of these. I'm just saying. The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan. Of course, there are many other movies and shows that include the element of a copy of some piece of famous art being put in place of the real one or sold as a real piece of art. I read somewhere where annually, tens of thousands of pieces of art are stolen every year around the world. 1999, I think it was the most. 60,000 pieces of art were recorded as stolen in the world that year. I don't know who's buying all this stuff. You know, just be careful. There's a lot of stolen art out there if you're buying it. Have you ever had someone say to you, you can be replaced? Yeah? Sure. Be careful. You can be replaced. You see, the thing is, you can never really be replaced with someone just like you. In fact, Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church says in regard to us as God's masterpieces, and segueing from art there to us being God's masterpieces, God's creation, he says in regard to us being God's masterpieces, God doesn't make copies. He makes originals. He says, you are unique. There's nobody else in the world just like you. There never has been, never will be. God uniquely designed you as an original, and originals are worth more than copies, he says. And I agree. In fact, as we read the Bible, we see that God said before you were born, he says, before you were born, I planned you. I thought you out. I have a purpose and a plan for your life, and I have uniquely designed you for a specific purpose. He made you so you can accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. God doesn't want you to be anybody else. He wants you to be you. In fact, in Job 10:8, we read, it says, you formed me with your hands, you made me. God planned you for a purpose and he designed you. And today, for the moments we have together, I'd like to consider the idea that God has given each one of us abilities and talents, and he wants us to serve him using those abilities and talents. And God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. There are no talent, there are no ability people. You may say, I don't have any talents, but you're wrong. Or I don't have any abilities. Again, you're wrong. The problem is, you know what you're not good at better than you know what you're good at. So if I were to say, give me 10 things you're not good at, you would come up with them very quickly. But if I said, give me 10 things you're good at, did I say not good the first time? Okay, I got nervous there, so I'm not really good at that part. If I said, give me a list of 10 things that you're good at, you'd be a lot slower at doing it. Yet the average human being, and here's just a note of encouragement, the average human being has between 500 and 800 abilities. And I'm not just saying that, it's not actually in the Bible, but study after study has shown this. You have at least 500 different abilities in your body. You're able-bodied. Most of them you don't even know you've got. They just come naturally to you. You don't even think about them as abilities, but you have that ability. And so there are no ability people. Everybody has abilities. Now, we all have varying degrees of abilities. We have different combinations of abilities. And if we expect people to fit into the same mold, all you're going to get is frustration or discouragement and failure. Of course, this doesn't mean that we can't improve ourselves, does it? Or get better at certain things or even learn new things. It simply means that you were made to be you. And when I visited George Burton in the hospital, he said to me, Craig, don't stop being you. I'm not exactly sure what that meant. I don't know, but God made me and wired me some certain way, as he has done with each one of you. God's given you and he's given me abilities, and he wants us to use them for what he intended us to do. See, your abilities are part of the map to God's will for you. They help to point the direction. He'll equip you with what you need for doing his will, not give you all the abilities you want or that everybody else has. He wants you to be you. And so he doesn't want you comparing yourself with anybody else or trying to be somebody else in ways that will end up being discouraging to you. You give him pleasure. You bring him glory. And you make God smile when you use the abilities he gave you in the ways that he intended. And all through the Bible, there are abilities that God says, I use for my will and that I will bless in the world. And we see in the Bible examples are things like athletic ability, artistic ability, architectural ability, administrative ability, baking, boat building, debating, designing, and entrepreneurialism. God blesses poetic ability, farming, fishing, gardening, leading, managing, masonry, molding, and musical abilities. These are all in the Bible, as well as metalworking and painting and planning and philosophizing and inventing and carpentry and tailoring and teaching and writing and on and on. All of these abilities come from God. All of these abilities can be used by God. And all of these abilities have a purpose on this earth. God says, I gave you your abilities, and that gives you a good direction. Every one of you here has abilities that God's given you. Some of them are like things like card making and cake baking and auto repair and photography and drawing and sketching and graphic arts and signing for the deaf, ability to play instruments. Again, it just goes on. And you can't simply say, well, anyone could learn to do that, because that is not true. Anyone cannot learn to do, anyone cannot learn to do what you do. Some perhaps, but that is not a given. And every one of us is called by God. Every one of us is called by God. First, we're called to accept his gift of salvation. And secondly, we're called to service. You are called by God. But how do you know the things you're called to do? I mean, how do you know that? Sometimes it's connected to our areas of interest or things that stir us inside, something we're drawn toward. Sometimes we find it out by experimenting and by trying new things or trying different things. And God expects us to use the abilities he's given us in several ways, I'd suggest to you this morning. The first one is to honor him. To honor him. Your abilities, whether it's farming or whether it's embroidery, ought to honor God in the way they're used. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What do you think that means? I think it means whatever you do. I think it means everything you do. I think it means whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That means any of those abilities mentioned so far and any other one can be used for God's glory. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. They're all important. And some days I don't feel like doing stuff for the glory of God. I just want to lay around. I want to relax. Well, then relax and lay around for the glory of God. Carpentry is as important as teaching. Masonry is as important as painting. Managing is as important as music. They're all important. There are no unimportant abilities. That means you can honor God in repairing cars. You can honor God in balancing books. You can honor God in helping people find and buy a home. You can honor God in making music or making meals or managing your office or a million other ways. Whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for God. He says, not only did I give you your abilities to honor me, but also to serve others. You see, our abilities, your abilities, are also for the benefit of other people. And God says they're not just for your benefit. Galatians 5:13 says, in part, serve one another humbly in love. We've talked about some of these things in our previous weeks together. With your abilities, you don't just honor God, you serve other people. Nobody is good at everything. I know some people think they're awesome, and they'll tell you, but nobody is good at everything. And what that means is, you need me and I need you. You need the person sitting next to you this morning. They need you and other people. Nobody has every talent or ability. There are no superstar perfection people who can say, I don't need anybody else. And the person who says that doesn't realize how needy they actually are. We need each other. That's why we need a church family. That's why teams work well, because together everybody accomplishes more and we're better together. If you want to be successful, build on your strengths, work on what you're good at and make it better. And remember, nobody's good at everything, so a good team comes together with people who are good at what you're not good at. who can complement each other's abilities. Everybody has something to contribute. And so God says, I expect you to use your abilities and your talents, first to honor me, secondly to serve others. You know, he tells us he expects us to use them to make a living too. Yeah. God says, I gave you your abilities in order to make a living. He planned for us to have abilities that allow us to work. If we can work, the Bible says we should work. Of course, we know that many people who want to work can't find work. Some people can't work because of physical restrictions or difficulties or circumstances. But if we can work and it's available to us, we should. And if we can't work or find work, maybe we can volunteer somewhere. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You know, the fact that you can go to work, if you do that, that's a God-given ability. It looks like that's what it says. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to earn a living, to produce wealth. Producing wealth is an ability, and some of you are really good at this. You have a natural ability. God's gifted you with a good business sense. And so can we make money to the glory of God? Of course you can. You can make money to the glory of God when you're honoring him, when you're grateful to him, when you're practicing biblical stewardship, which involves giving back to God, when you're living ethically, then you're doing it for his glory. And for some people, God's given them amazing business skills to contribute to kingdom projects. And maybe that's, yes, in their local church. Maybe it's to a project that's close to their heart or to missions somewhere in the world. Or in the odd case, to all of the above. Well, God's also called us through our abilities to be an example to others. To be an example to others. He says, I want you to be a witness, a testimony, an example to other people. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify or praise your Father in heaven. God wants people to notice your good work. He says, I want people to see the gifts and abilities that I gave you in action. I want them to see your improvement. I want them to see your progress, to see you developing the skills and abilities and the talents that I gave you. He says that makes people look at him. And God wants people to know that his children, the people in God's family, are the best workers on the planet. That they're reliable, that they're hardworking, that they have integrity, they're dependable, they're skilled. He wants us to be an example so that people look to him, not to us, that he would receive the honor for it, not us. I think another reason, another thing that we need to do with our abilities and talents that God has given us them for is to enable us to be generous. And we just touched on that. God wants to use our abilities generously. That may be to earn money so that we can share with people who can't work or are poor for one reason or another. Maybe they've had a crisis or a tragedy. Ephesians 4:28 says, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. First part of that says stop stealing, but I trust that's, you get the point. Use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Maybe that's in giving help to someone in need. Maybe it's in buying some items that are needed for the food cupboard program. Hey, a weird thing happened this week. I might not get the details exactly right, but I believe it was the regional police put out this little sort of challenge to bring in supplies and that for backpacks for kids going back to school. And there was some need in that area, and so different organizations did that. To date, I'm not sure if it was to date or middle of this past week, the Pioneer Park Food Cupboard Program has given out 75 backpacks with supplies through the food cupboard program to needy families in our community. That's awesome. And Gene Lease has headed that up, 75. And so there was this sort of thing out on a community board online, and people were chatting back and forth about it, collecting supplies for backpacks and that kind of stuff. And so Gene Lease put out on this information board, she put out, hey, Pioneer Park just handed out 75 backpacks. And she got a message from the owner of the Laughing Demon across the street. And he said, hey, We've been collecting backpacks and supplies, and we've got about 30 here, and can we give them to you? And so I think it was Thursday afternoon during the program. Yes, it was, because I saw a bunch of you were there in a picture online, and he came over and donated those. And so it was neat to see that happen. And so I think that reminded me when I talked about the food cupboard program and using our hands and supplies to help and to generously give to others. And as I said, maybe that's in giving help to people. Maybe it's in buying something for the food cupboard program. Maybe it's in volunteering and serving, something that we're emphasizing today. Maybe it's in loaning someone something. Oh, don't you love just loaning things to people? You either get it back broken or you don't get it back. Rarely does it come back in the same or better shape. But generosity triggers God's blessing. Why? Because God is generous. God is generous. Everything we have in life is a gift of God's generosity. We would have nothing without his generosity. And God says, I want you to learn to be like me. And we'll never be like him unless we learn generosity. And when you're generous, it triggers God's blessing in your life. And so God gives us abilities to honor him, to serve others, to make a living, to be an example, to be generous. And lastly, I think he gives them to us to help to build up his church. To build up his church, the family of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. You see, God expects you to use your abilities to help your church family in some way too, I think. It's one of the reasons he gave you abilities. If you have an ability or a talent, then God wants you to use it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're here. I know people visit and check out churches and that kind of stuff. But I believe that as we're submitted to him, God places specifically in each church family the talent that he knows the church is going to need, the abilities that he knows are needed. Have you ever thought about why you're really here? Have you ever thought about why you're really here at Pioneer Park Church? It's not really because you've just been here a lot of your life or just happens to be close by. I mean, out of all the people that God could have put in Pioneer Park Church, he put you here. Why? Because you have something to offer that this church family, your church family, needs, and nobody else can do it like you can. Nobody. He knows exactly who's here because he knows exactly what he wants to do through this particular faith community at this time. So of these six reasons God gives you abilities to use to honor him, to serve others, to make a living, to be an example, to be generous, and to help Jesus' church, what if you don't use your ability in these ways we've been talking about? What if you just didn't? Well, I suggest first that you lose out, the world loses out, and the church loses out. Have you ever heard the phrase, use it or... Yeah. Okay, you have. Use it or lose it. Well, again, I don't know if that's not a biblical phrase, but let me share something with you. I do believe that if we don't use the abilities God's given us, then there is somewhere in there a danger of losing that talent or ability. In fact, there's an interesting story in Matthew 25, in one of the verses, it comes down to the point, you know, these servants have been entrusted by their master with different amounts of talents, a bag of gold, and you know, he goes away and they're supposed to invest it and use it and all that, and you know, two of them do a really great job out of the three, and the last guy, the third guy, he doesn't do anything with it. He just buries it in the ground, this talent or this gift that the master's given him to invest while he's gone. And he buries it in the ground. The master comes back and he's like really pleased with these ones that use their talent, that used their bags of gold that he left with them to invest and to increase. And then he gets to this one and he has some special words for him. He calls him some things that not names, but he's really not happy with him. In fact, there's not a reward for that person that didn't use that. There is a loss that takes place. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 25:28, take the bag of gold from him who didn't do anything with it, and give it to the one who has 10 talents, who really used what he'd been given. And I know this particular account is talking about talent being an amount of money, but the point is that something was given to the servant to use and invest, and he chose not to use what was given him, and the result was that it was taken away. God has the right to take away an ability that I don't ever use. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And Jesus said, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Put another way, it's like, to whom much is given, much is required. And all of us have abilities. All of us. You do, I do, everybody does. And there are, just to wrap it up this morning, there are two things that are needed for using your abilities. You need to dedicate them, and I think you need to cultivate them. Dedicate them back to God. Commit them to God for the use that He intended. In Romans 12:1, we read, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable." This is truly the way to worship God. It's when you say, "God, you gave me these abilities, and now I'm going to give them back to you, not to give them away from me, but I'm going to dedicate them to you. I want to use them for the reasons that you gave me to use them." Dedicate your abilities to God to be used in the ways He intended, and then we need to cultivate them. That means practice. That means improve. It means sharpen. It means develop. It means cultivate. Any ability that God's given you can be bettered with use and practice. In Ecclesiastes, we read, if the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you to succeed. And so you want to be successful, it takes skill. How do you get skill? You practice. And he says you need to sharpen your axe. That's the idea of practicing, because a dull axe takes more energy. Sharpen your axe and you'll be more successful. Sharpen your abilities, sharpen your attitudes, your skills. It's spiritual discipline. See, God created you and He gave you abilities and He put them in you. And you know what He's going to do someday? He's going to ask us some stuff. I really believe that He's going to say, "What did you do with what you were given? What did you do with what you were given? Did you use your abilities to honor me, to serve others, to make a living, to be an example?" Oh, I don't know if He'll use those exact words. Did you use them to help other people? Did you use them to help my church? What did you do with what you were given? I want to have a good answer. I want to have a good answer. In Luke 12:43, Jesus said, "When the master comes back and finds his servant doing his work," in other words, using your talents and abilities to honor God, "that servant will be blessed." And I hope that's a blessing that you want. Let's not ever be guilty of wasting our talents and abilities. Let's be sure, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's our place of recreation, whether it's in our neighborhood, whether it's in our family, wherever it is, let's be sure to use them in the ways that we've considered today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the abilities that You've given us here. God, we don't even know what all the abilities we've got, but I thank You for them. Lord, help us as we discover them. Lord, help us to dedicate them back to You. Help us to cultivate them and to work on them. Help us to get even better at what we're doing in ways that are honoring to You. Father, may we honor You by being the best that we can be. Help us as we serve others, as we make a living, as we honor You, as we try to be an example. Lord, help us as we share with others who are in need, and as we help our church, family, wherever that may be, to grow and to reach out. Father, we thank You. Thank You for even thinking of us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for wiring us the way You did. And Father, may we honor You in all those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we please all stand as we just respond to that?